Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The world has become a very interesting place since we started talking about, you know, what's been happening at the US with the Kashrut Department. We had an interview with Rabbi Dovi, who is the managing director of Kashrut. Everybody heard that the interview went viral for all the wrong reasons, unfortunately. And, you know, where mistakes are made, then there needs to be resolution. There needs to be a way to fix it. But if you don't know where the problems are, then how are you going to address it? So I thought, well, you know what, it could be of value to you and I to get insight into the reality of somebody who is working within the kashrut industry at the moment. And I have invited Joel on to speak to us about what his life is like at the moment. Good morning, Joel, and thank you so much for your time.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for everything you are doing. It's amazing what you've done, because a lot of people have half gone where you gone and then ran away. So shkach for all that you have been doing.
All right, Joel, what's your life like at the moment? What's happened in your life? What's the reality?
Well, the reality is we're sitting with a Beth Din that's internationally a joke. International hexers are laughing at the Beth Din. They have always tried to get where our Beth Din used to be, and single-handedly management of our Beth Din have taken the best and turned it into one of the worst. And for a Mashgiach, it's hard, because you are in the front line, and at the end of the day, if something goes wrong, they are going to blame the Mashgiach, because then it gets them out of the hot water and says, okay, we'll get rid of this Mashgiach and we'll put in another Mashgiach and they'll be better. And that's basically where we're sitting. There's nobody at the Beth Din to talk to. They keep telling you, speak to this one, speak to that one. The last meeting I had with Dovi, he said, no, you're the only one you speak to is Rabbi Moti Groner, who for some reason's always overseas, can never get hold of him. Any question you have, he always says he'll come back to us. He can't help, he'll come back, and he never comes back, and there's no communication. I work in the catering industry. Many times late at night, you've got a function, you've got a kashrut issue, you need to speak. The only person is Rabbi Baumgarten, and you know, there's one person he can't, sometimes he just can't help, and there is nobody else. And we've asked them a million times, have three or four people on hotlines that we can phone, because if we got a serious issue at say 10 o'clock at night at a function, or even 9 o'clock at night, because they say their business hours are from 8 till 5, so you've got a kashrut issue at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and nobody answers you, and then they answer you like 8 o'clock the next morning, it's too late, it's finished, it's done. So that's where we're sitting, not, like I say, not just me, all the mashgiachs. We've got nobody to turn to. I've had many, many, I think I spoke to everybody at the Beth Din now. I don't think there's one person I haven't, kashrut department wise. And everybody says, why did you got to speak to Joe Shmo? You should have spoke to me, and they will sort it out. And nothing has been sorted out. And that's where we sit at this point.
Joel, give us an example of the kind of query that you would have at 10 o'clock at night when you've got a function.
Okay, so it could be that somebody has brought in a product to hand out, and they haven't informed the caterer, they haven't informed us. They've got a product that they're saying is kosher, and now I'm not sure if it's kosher or not. I don't have time to now search the internet. I need the question now, because I've got 100 other things happening on the night. So you need to be able to phone somebody from the Beth Din and say, so-and-so has brought this product. Is it kosher? Isn't it kosher? What do I do? And at least then I go back to them and say, look, I've spoke to Rabbi so-and-so from the Beth Din. They will not allow it. But if I say I won't allow it, you can't believe the words I get from clients saying, who am I? And they are kosher and they know this is kosher. So you need that backup. And like I say, you just need to know if it's kosher or not. Because if you go back to the client and just say, look, I can't get hold of anybody, so we can't use it, it's not good enough. They get cross, and it just doesn't help the situation.
Right. Last week I actually spoke to Trevor Miller from the Mashgiach Association. And one thing that came to light is that restaurants mashgichim are being paid, even if it's through the Beth Din, they're essentially being paid by the restaurants. The restaurants 100%. Are the employers. So as a mashgiach, where do you find your loyalties lie in this model?
No, well, that unfortunately is a major problem. And when the whole Stan and Pete thing hit, the chief came out. Nobody asked him to. He came out himself personally on a YouTube video and said to the community that we know the biggest problem is that the mashgiachs are paid by the establishments. We're going to take it over and we are going to pay. I know it's a big, it's a lot of money, but in the end of the day, 100%, if you're the owner of the restaurant or the caterer is paying you, you really don't want to find problems. You know what I'm saying? If you find a problem and you get them into troubles, so to speak, they're not going to be happy with you. They're not going to want you anymore. And even if they keep you, they're really going to treat you like, you know, because now you've, you know, unfortunately, most establishments don't. Kashrut is there because they need it, not because they want it. And the mashgiach is there really because they need the mashgiach, not because they want it. So now that they have the power to pay the mashgiach, they really can say, listen, you know what? You're fired. And it's not something I'm saying. There's many, many cases of mashgiachs finding hectic. When I tell you, I think people would faint if they found out the hectic kashrut issues these mashgiachs have found. They get fired by the establishment. They then get a call or they phone the Beth Din and the Beth Din say, the best thing you can do is just walk away. Sign a little disclaimer, walk away, and you'll go and find another job. Which of course is not right, because then they'll find a mashgiach that eventually, for whatever reason, will not find the problems, and then they'll keep that mashgiach. And that's not kashrut. Kashrut has to be king in the end of the day. And that's where we sit.
What would you like to see from the UOS and from the kashrut department?
Kathy, I'm really probably the wrong person. I'm so pessimistic at this point with them. Like I say, it's not. Today I'm talking, this goes for at least 4 or 5 years that I have been hounding them. What I would love is, I really would love one based in. I know a lot of people say it's a monopoly, but the problem is when you have another based in, which I know for a fact, when I was in London for 3 years, you have 6 based ins there. If you're friendly with so-and-so and he's friendly with you, if you're different based ins, that means I can't eat from your house, you can't eat from my house, because I don't hold by that
standard,
kosher heksher.
Yeah.
It's such a that's why our community is such a special community, because even if you, Lubavitch, and you eat Mahadran Commission, all I have to do is get Mahadran Commission meat and cook it for you, and you'll eat by me. But basically we hold by one based in at this point. And it's sad that, but again, it's not today. This has been for so long that people, you got to understand, people are so chatful kind of thing that you got to understand that that's why they're going, they're seeking elsewhere. And if they can pay less for an international heksher, which is recognized internationally, and they will get, exposure to other markets, it's a no-brainer. But it's sad for me, because now it's saying, instead of one based in that worldwide you don't see. And like I say, I lived in London. I saw it with my own eyes. I worked in catering there also. And we were under 2 kashrut authorities. And believe me, it was just political. The one was supposedly better than the other, but it was a political thing. And it's just sad, because it breaks up a community. Because if your rabbi is with this heksher, then you have to be with this heksher. And it makes things so complicated. And then, we don't have enough people in the country. So
sure.
Now if you've got restaurant A and he's under the Joburg Beth Din, but now you under another heksher, you can't eat from that. So now you need more restaurants, because you have to cater for other people also. So
Joel, so
ideally I would want them to work well. Ideally either they've got to dissolve and actually restart from scratch and get a proper board of directors at the Best Inn, that not only one person is making all the calls, so that they sit in a meeting and they discuss the calls, not one person decides what goes, what doesn't go, and not bypassing the dine-in, which is happening now. And okay. I know for a fact, because many times I spoke to dine-in and I've said to them, you know, why is ABC happening? They don't even know what I'm talking about. Then they come to me, they say, you know what, they bypassed us. It's not right, we agree, but what can I say? And that's what you're sitting with.
Yeah, which is interesting, because that's something that came to light with Honeyfields, is that the Kashrut Dayanim didn't actually know anything about Honeyfields.
Yeah,
they don't know. Which kind of says to me that it's a compliance issue, it's not a Kashrut issue.
Oh, 100%.
Compliance in terms of paying your contract, you know.
100%. Like I could say there's many, and I've addressed this with the Beth Din. I'm not talking behind their back. I've been to them and I said to them, guys, how do you allow such Kashrut issues? But then when people don't pay license, then you're quick to act. And then they've always got something to say and then nothing happens and I just leave it because I get busy
I think a question. If the dianim of the Kashrut department are not making the decisions, who's making the Kashrut decisions?
As far as I'm aware, it's the chief rabbi making all the decisions. So Dovi is there, but in the end of the day, even if a dianim makes a heter or a decision, he has a last say. So he can say, yes, I agree with you, we'll do this, or he says, no, it's not good. So as far as I know, he's the CEO of the Beth Din, of the UOS. So he is the main guy there, plus the chief rabbi, of course. So,
yeah.
Where in the world you don't see that. You don't see that. In the world you have an Av Beth Din, like we used to have with Rabbi Kustag, maybe well. And the buck stops with him and he makes sure that everything, and he has a knowledge. He's come from a background and he has a knowledge of Kashrut. I just find the people that are there at the moment don't have the knowledge, except for your Rabbi Baumgartens and your Rabbi Zoltzes. But they are senior inspectors and can't do much.
Yeah. Joel, this is where, unfortunately, we have to leave it. But thank you so much. Thank you for coming and just, you know, sharing the situation in your life and your world at the moment. And
pleasure. I hope I'm still employed tomorrow, but it's a pleasure.
Makes two of us. Makes two of us, Joel. Anyway. Listen, thank you very, very much.
Pleasure.
I think that if you aren't, then that would raise certain questions for me, certainly.